Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Our show and tell this morning may look familiar to our contemporary issues class. You'll recognize this slide from the World Mission Initiative Conference that we have been viewing presentations from for the past several weeks. This is a picture of two different ways of looking at authority. On the left there, you have a state Supreme Court, not the Iowa Supreme Court. It's a different state in this image. The Supreme Court has this sort of isolated elite perspective and this formal place you have to go, and they pronounce whether you are right or wrong. They give a definitive interpretation of how things are supposed to be. And then over there on the right, you have a round table with no leaders, just a group that is empowered to represent multiple perspectives and find the group's own answer to the challenges that they face. These were presented for purposes of contemporary issues as these two contrasting ways that the church can relate to the world around us, either with this perspective of control and authority or this other flavor of authority that comes through collaboration and partnership. Now, contemporary issues also noticed something else about these pictures. We noticed that one of these ideas, this top-down elite version of authority, has a really easy photo. You can go find this picture anywhere. And the other picture of authority had to be drawn from the imagination. Human communities often gravitate toward these top-down modes of authority. That's not universally true, but it's often the case that human communities gravitate to this top-down mode of authority. Well, listen in today's scripture reading for questions about authority. Questions about authority. Who has authority? Why do they exercise their authority? And who receives authority in today's reading? Will you pray with me? O Lord, send your Spirit upon us. Anoint this reading of your word so that it may become good news for the poor, revelation for those who look for you, and liberation for the oppressed. Through us, proclaim the year of your favor through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked some heads of grain, rubbed them in their hands, and ate them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might find an accusation against him. Even though he knew what they were thinking, he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come and stand here." He got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to destroy it?" After looking around at all of them, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Now during those days he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples, and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today after worship, we will have our annual congregational meeting, and if you didn't know, now you know. The annual meeting is a time, a sort of ritual, set-apart time for us to discern about God's mission for Covenant Presbyterian Church. Discernment is about seeing clearly. It literally, discernment is telling the difference. In church, discernment is about telling the difference between what is God's will and what is not God's will for us. This is something I can't say often enough. Church is not about our preferences. It's about God's call. And leadership in the church is not about making the congregation happy. Leadership in the church is always and only about following Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. More simply, leadership and discernment in the church are about understanding what it means to love God and love our neighbors. Now, if discernment in the church, if leadership in the church is about understanding God's will, then we need to know what God's will is. That's harder than it sounds, even just in individual lives. And it can be very difficult for a whole group, like a congregation, where we are all hearing in our own unique ways what it is God calls us to do and to be. We have to ask ourselves, in this group, in this congregation, whether any given action points toward love of God and neighbor or not. Now, all but seven of you can be very grateful that you don't have to do all the discerning on behalf of Covenant Presbyterian Church. There are very few decisions that come to a congregational meeting for a vote. Instead, Covenant has seven people on our decision-making council. We call it a session. And you elect them, not at today's meeting, but at another meeting, date to be determined. So that's one of the decisions that comes to you, is to discern together who is it that is called out from us to discern on our behalf. We do that sort of to balance a couple of different things. We want, on the one hand, to represent the diversity of the congregation, the whole range of ideas and perspectives and experiences in the congregation. So we want enough people on session to do that work, but we don't want everybody on session doing that work, everybody on that board all at the same time, because a smaller group functions together better. Discernment requires some deep trust and some group cohesion so that we know we can tell each other the truth. And it requires a commitment of time and energy to understand the questions in front of us and think about what is at stake and to pray together to seek God's will for the congregation. So it's really important that the session is not just me. I, even though I am, of course, your wise and esteemed pastor, I'm not wise enough, and I'm certainly not trustworthy enough to make all the decisions on my own. Our elders will tell you that one of my favorite lines is, "You are the session." I am committed to making sure that the elders who are entrusted and ordained for the leadership of the congregation, it really matters to me that they know that they have the authority together to discern God's will. That the decisions we make are not ultimately about my authority or my ideas, and they're not about what will make people happy. It's ultimately not even about the elders' authority. It's about our shared responsibility to seek God's will. It's been especially challenging for your elders on session this year, as the session has had to make hard choices about COVID safety and about Covenant's mission within the context of the pandemic. Those hard decisions have included the decision to continue exclusively online, even though that comes at a cost to our ritual practices and our fellowship time together. That's the transition between authority and talking about ritual practices. But when I talk about ritual practices, we're ultimately going to be talking about authority in the context of today's scripture reading. See, today's scripture reading centers on ritual practices about the Sabbath, that one day a week that is set aside as holy for God. The religious tradition in which Jesus grew up includes a process of debate, you could call it group discernment, it's a very Presbyterian thing, really, about how to faithfully observe the Sabbath. Not because some people are really overly rigid in their ways of understanding things, but because it matters how we observe our relationship with God, how we practice and tend our relationship with God. Presbyterians have plenty of our own rules and practices. We have rules and practices about how we expect ourselves to dress for worship, or whether we bring coffee into the sanctuary, or how much money we give directly to people in need versus giving that same amount of money to programs and agencies that help in a different way. The COVID pandemic has led not only in the church, but in the society around us to all kinds of arguments about how best to care for people. How best do we care for people, understanding that our real goal is to care for people? How do we balance the need to avoid infection and prevent the spread of the disease with the balancing need to avoid the negative effects of isolation? People of good faith can really strenuously disagree about how to set that balance and how to achieve that balance as we go through. That's where discernment is really challenging. So our scripture reading this morning gives us these two stories about the Sabbath. Two stories about how we discern in that case, in the context of the Sabbath rules, how do we discern what God intends for us? And it addresses two clear points about this. One point about the purpose of the Sabbath, and one point about whose authority the Sabbath falls under. One, the Lord's will for the Sabbath is for wholeness and restoration. God wills wholeness and restoration probably more impatiently than I'm honestly comfortable with. Even when wholeness upsets my categories and my careful processes about how this is to be done, Jesus says, "Stretch out your hand and it is restored." And the second point about the Sabbath, when I say that it's about the Lord's will for what the Sabbath should be, when I say the Lord, I mean Jesus. I don't mean my calendar. I don't even mean myself and my own ideas and my own desires. I mean Jesus, the one who claims all of my life. And I have this one day, this Sabbath day, that is set apart so that I can know more clearly than perhaps I know the other 6 days of the week, who is Lord of my life. We have rituals and times set apart because during times that are not set apart, we have a tendency to forget who is really Lord of our life. We have practices for discerning God's will because we tend to forget that Jesus is Lord. We tend to lose sight of what it is God intends for us. And if Jesus is Lord, and I'm not, then even my very best human understanding might be wrong. In fact, I have to assume that my very best human understanding misses the mark somehow. I have to assume that I am wrong somewhere in here. And that means that the right decision, if Jesus is Lord and I'm not, then the right decision may not suit me. It may not suit my preferences. Maybe because I don't see the whole picture, maybe just because not every part of the story is about me. This part of the story may not be about me. It's not about whose grain is in that field. It's not about whose religious ritual is going on. It's about feeding and healing, wholeness and plenty. Did you notice that in our little three-scene scripture reading this morning, Jesus spends two of the scenes violating the Sabbath, that day set apart as time for spending in God's presence. And then he goes and he spends all night praying right there in God's presence. See, Jesus is not anti-Sabbath. He's not anti-rest and attention to the presence of God. What he is pro-discernment. Jesus discerned when is time to gather grain and when is time to heal and when is time to step back and away and reflect and pray. That's why we set aside time for prayer as well. That's why I try to slow down when we get to the portions of the worship service where we are explicitly praying together to God. Because we can't act and plan and listen all at the same time. Today we have an opportunity to reflect together and listen to each other and to do it with humility. To do it with humility. I've never discerned anything as well or as faithfully as Jesus has. And even Jesus, after he spent all night in prayer to God, chose 12 apostles, and one of them was Judas Iscariot. My thanks to my colleague Joanna Herriter for pointing that piece out, that even Jesus didn't get 12 out of 12 on who would be the very best, most effective apostles. So if we seek to discern God's will at our congregational meeting, and we don't mess up as badly as that, I'd say we are doing pretty well together. So here's how I hope that we will discern God's will together. First, we'll discern God's will with some time for scripture and prayer. Scripture and prayer right now during worship, and then again during the annual meeting. Our process explicitly sets out that we will have time to read scripture and pray together. I usually try to read scripture out loud and slow down for that as well, just to make sure that I am really listening to what is being said in that scripture, to listen to what God is saying through that scripture to me, to us, as we read together. But we will also have conversation with each other. We'll have conversation as a large group and as small groups. We'll have time to look back and look forward for God's call in our lives and in our congregation's life together. And most of all, I hope that we will discern together that today and every day, by assuming that somebody else is speaking the truth that God intends to say to us, to all of us. Because this is a time about discerning not our own will, but God's will. God's will for the good of the whole world God loves. Because God calls us to heal, to restore, and to love, because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. So let it be fulfilled among us. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
We lift up today, as our moment for mission, the blood drive coming up on February 17th at Covenant. As Warren Pitcher, whom we celebrated last week, is fond of saying, there is no substitute for human blood. And so the blood that you are able to donate is urgently needed and is completely irreplaceable. And so we invite you to step up and roll up that sleeve and help your neighbors right here in central Iowa who need your help, who need your blood on February 17th. February 17th is also Ash Wednesday, and so we will not be worshiping in person on Ash Wednesday, but because the blood drive has to happen in person, I am planning on being there and will be very happy to impose ashes on anyone who comes to donate blood and would like to receive ashes that day.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.